Isaiah chapter 61. Verse 1 is where we begin. Lord, we ask that you would sanctify us by your truth. Your word is truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Isaiah 61, 1. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound. This was ultimately fulfilled in Jesus Christ, who admitted in a synagogue one day that this was referring to him. This talks about good news from God. And the good news is, you don't have to be sad. And you don't have to be bound by any bad habits or sin anymore. Jesus will make sure that all who belong to him will one day be free from all that is bad. And in his earthly ministry, he set people free from sicknesses and disease and even death to illustrate what he is capable of doing. And he continues in verse 2, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn. The time is coming when God will take vengeance on all sinners who refuse to repent, and that time will also include God showing his people more kindness than they can possibly imagine. Verse 3, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. A big change is on the way for God's people. There will be a complete reversal with many things. Everything that is bad will be removed, and the opposite good will be the norm. 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. Men shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. And so the wealth of the wicked is laid up for the righteous, the Bible says, and that day is coming. 7. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor, and instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore in their land they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. God will measure his people's bad and give them a double measure of good to replace it. That's a promise from God. 8. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their work in truth, and will make with them an everlasting covenant. God loves justice and fairness because it's right, because it is the way he is. 9. Their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles, and their offspring among the people. All who see them shall acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. God blesses his obedient people because he is good, and because he wants all people to acknowledge that he is good. He wants the lost world to see that he is good, to change their minds about him. 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he hath clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness, as a bridegroom decks himself with ornaments, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. God makes his people good. He makes his people righteous if they're willing to cooperate with his grace. 11. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes the things that are sown in it to spring forth, so the Lord God will cause righteousness and praise to spring forth before all the nations. Goodness and justice will grow across the earth, is what God is saying. That's the way things are going to end up, because that's the way God wants it to be, and God wins. Isaiah 62. For Zion's sake, I will not hold my peace, and for Jerusalem's sake, I will not rest, until her righteousness goes forth as brightness, and her salvation as a lamp that burns. Well, the good times, which God has been promising, never seem to come. Isn't that true? Now, he's been promising good times for a long time in his word, and they never seem to come. But God doesn't want us to give up. Consequently, he says, I'm not resting until they do come. I'm on the ball here. I'm not going to let one word of my Holy Bible fall to the ground. God will bring to completion what he has promised. He reassures us of this. Verse 2, the Gentiles shall see your righteousness, and all kings your glory. You shall be called by a new name, which the mouth of the Lord will name. People will no longer call God's people bad names. The tremendous blessing God brings them will be reflected in their new name. 3. You shall also be a crown of glory in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. God's people will be his crown. In other words, they will display the moral beauty of God and the pleasant circumstances which result from it. Verse 4. You shall no longer be termed forsaken, nor shall your land any more be termed desolate, but you shall be called Hephzibah, and your land Beulah, for the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married. Now, Hephzibah means my delight is in her. God says, I'm going to delight my people, and things are going to be the way they should be, and I'm going to have a lot of spiritual children. And that's referring to the great number of souls saved during the church age. Verse 5, for as a young man marries a virgin, so shall your sons marry you. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall your God rejoice over you. God will be a happy God once sin has run its course and his people are holy and happy. 6, I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem, who shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent. God says, I'm going to have some good preachers who keep reminding my people about me. They'll never forget me, because I've got some faithful preachers out there. Tell them about me. 7. And give him no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. People will be saying good things about God and good things about God's people. 8. The Lord has sworn by his right hand and by the arm of his strength, surely I will no longer give your grain to be food for your enemies, and the sons of the foreigner shall not drink your new wine for which you have labored. But those who have gathered it shall eat it and praise the Lord. Those who have brought it together shall drink it in my holy courts. In other words, the days of God's people being used and abused are going to be over. God's people are going to get a fair deal. 10. Go through the gates. Prepare the way for the people. Build up the highway. Take out the stones. Lift up a banner for the peoples. God is inviting all people to remove any spiritual obstacles from their life and to come to him. Verse 11. Indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely your salvation is coming. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work before him. And they shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out a city not forsaken. God's people are called to be a holy nation, as he says. And they shall call them a holy people. And God's people are called to be that type of people, holy, meaning they are supposed to be different from everyone else. They're supposed to be like God, to be a testimony to who God is. We'll pick it up in chapter 63 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.